The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
One sign you've had too much coffee? When you call into radio talk show hosts or talk shows like ours, and we ask you to turn yourself down. Forget having to turn the radio down, it's you. Hey, thanks for turning us on here where we are turning you on to good health every Saturday morning at 9. And it's your caffeine-free wake-up call. After all, who needs something in your cup to wake up when you have us on your radio? More stimulating talk radio without the caffeine. Speaking of caffeine, did you see this on the news? Caffeine raises the risk of overweight kids. Consuming caffeine during pregnancy might increase the risk for obesity in childhood. This was a Norwegian study published in the British Medical Journal, and it involved over 50,000 mother-infant pairs, and they had the mothers report their caffeine intake at 22 weeks of pregnancy, and then the researchers followed their children over the next 8 years. Well, what did they find? Well, mothers who had 50 to 200 milligrams of caffeine per day were only slightly more likely to have overweight children. Those who had 200 to 300 milligrams were about 17% more likely to have overweight children through age 5. But those mothers who consume more than 300 milligrams a day of caffeine, that's, you know, only 2 to 3 cups, were 44%, up to 44% more likely to be overweight, their children were, or obese through the age of 8. This, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends no more than 200 milligrams of caffeine a day during pregnancy, and that allowable level may go down after this research study. So, you know, it's not only alcohol that pregnant women have to be concerned about consuming during the gestation period, but, well, for instance, my mother, I remember she did not consume 2 cups of coffee a day when I was before I was born, and then after, she was a one-a-day coffee drinker. That is, one pot a day. I'm not kidding you. Throughout my childhood, I always remember my mother drank an entire pot of coffee a day. And by the way, I was overweight as a child. That's how I got into health and health education that particular reason. I was always the fattest kid in my class through grade school. Anyway, all right, telling you about today's show, Dr. Paul Wand, a neurologist from Coral Springs, Florida, joins us momentarily after a few features and some announcements. He's been in practice for more than 20 years, and we're going to talk about concussions and some of the things that you don't know about concussions that you need to know, and some of the novel and new treatment approaches, whether it's from sports injuries. You know, it doesn't necessarily matter the cause of the concussion, but the treatment is pretty universal. Well, actually, it's personalized too. It does depend on certain factors, but you know, you could be suffering from headaches or dementia, difficulty walking. There's seizures or epilepsy, even Parkinson's, and some people, even doctor or medical experts, that don't equate it or don't really dig into the fact that it could be caused from a previous concussion, and the time delay is just it's beyond belief how much of a delay it could be between the time of your concussion and the symptoms appearing. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Wand. And also Dr. Susanna Stoica joins us a little later in the program, also about concussion. She has a new book, Heal Your Brain, Reclaim Your Life, her journey back from a brain injury. And she contends that 1 in 5 teenagers sustain injuries that can cause headaches and nausea and even dizziness and depression. So we'll talk about that with those our two medical experts in just a matter of minutes after these announcements and a few features, as we usually do every week at this time. You can live healthier and save money. 5 simple ways to reduce healthcare costs that, you know, not too many people are talking about. You know, it's a $3.3 trillion that we've spent on U.S. healthcare. Well, that was 2016 statistics, but at least $1 trillion of that is spent on diseases related to diet, such as heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. You know, lifestyle diseases, meaning that these are treatable or at least delayable, and that's going to equal savings for not only you personally, but us nationally, and you know, as a whole culture. So getting everyone to, you know, everyone from the public to policymakers to understand that we can fix healthcare, but in order to fix healthcare, we need to fix our health. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a lobby for drugs. That's one of the biggest lobbies in Washington, the pharmaceutical lobby. And, of course, there's lobby for hospitals. There's a lobby for physicians, the AMA. And, you know, they do a lot of good, too, not disparaging them. But, you know, and it's because all these organizations do things to make a profit. But there's no lobby for saving money. There should be a lobby for that. So if you'd like to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, you have to be proactive. And a couple other ways to go about that is we could save $31 billion a year. That's, well, actually, the total savings by 2035. If every American capped daily added sugars, according to American Heart Association guidelines of 6 teaspoons for women and 9 teaspoons for men, and that would go a lot to prevent all kinds of diseases, everything from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is epidemic in our society because of sugar consumption, it's just, you go down the list. All right, just moving right along with other savings. Over $15,000 per person could be saved. That's the amount insurance providers would save, and subsequently all of us, if every adult maintained their weight, their, you know, BMI after the age of 50, because extra weight promotes inflammation, which in turn promotes all kinds of diseases, heart disease, cancer, dementia, even depression. And then finally, we could save $117 billion if that's the reduction. If all Americans got at least 150 minutes of physical activity weekly. So it's not only benefiting your heart, it's reducing levels of hormones that can produce or help to increase the development of cancers and, you know, different things that you don't want. So exercise is the fountain of youth as well as the fountain of health. And speaking of exercise, let's go to the fitness file. Talk about exercise. Brains really have really do mean having less brawn. You know, people always tease nerds, oh, they're brainy, not brawny, and then the, you know, the big athletes, the jocks, are brawny and not brainy. Well, primate species with larger brains have less muscle mass, and that's because brains are expensive to run when it comes to the resources of the body, you know, calories. You know, think about it. What, your brain is 2 or 3% of your total body weight, but it consumes 25% of its calories or the energy that it needs to run your body. So this idea emerged back in the mid-1990s, and they say that primates support their large brains by saving energy elsewhere. And that makes sense. In particular, the idea is that their guts, another expensive tissue, got smaller as their brains became larger. I'll just breeze through this study. Muscle, particularly slow-twitch muscle. Now, slow-twitch muscle is needed for sustained activity like long-distance running or endurance exercises or activities. That's also expensive tissue. And from the standpoint of calorie or energy expenditure. The team found that primates with larger brain volumes had less muscle mass relative to their overall body mass. Isn't that interesting? All right, let's see. To crunch or not to crunch? That's the... I'm not talking chips. I'm talking exercise. Squats? Oh, I thought you said shots. Yeah, I remember that. Seeing that on a T-shirt. Yes, you have to do squats every day. Don't take shots every day. All right, but anyway, the they've been a major exercise for supposedly building your abdominal region and your core muscles. They've been around for more than 50 years, or popular for that long a period of time, but they can put a load on your spine and can actually lead to disc injury and chronic back pain. This, according to this university study, they say developing core stiffness is more important than building trunk flexion fitness, because it strengthens the muscles and improves endurance and reduces low back pain, supporting sports performance. So, you know, the things like planks and other abdominal exercises over crunches. So you can throw crunches out the window. Okay, let's go to matters of sexual health. And if you're suffering from menstrual cramps, give mint a try. That's 3 cups of peppermint day or tea a day can help to relieve pain during your period and also reduce your cramping pain. And they can do it as effectively as over-the-counter pain relievers such as aspirin or ibuprofen or even naproxen, without the risk of stomach problems and you know, some of the other side effects of the prescription. I mean, the OTC pain relievers. The menthol and peppermint, they say, relaxes spasming uterine muscles. And mint, of course, also contains aspirin-like compounds, the salicin-like compounds, and menthol. All right, men who, men who have oral sex are 56% more likely to contract HPV, that's the human papillomavirus, if they have poor to fair mouth health. In other words, gum inflammation or sores in the mouth, according to University of Texas researchers. And we talked about this, well, we talked to Dr. Dennis Nagata last week on dental health. We did our first hour of the program on dental hygiene and dental health. So be sure to brush, floss, and scrape your tongue, that is, and avoid refined sugars and foods if all possible. And finally, if you're pregnant and in pain, what do you do? Well, you know, the doctor says, well, don't take prescription medications or over-the-counter pain relievers because you're pregnant. Well, mild pain relievers could pose risks to fetuses. Ibuprofen seems to pass through the placenta with ease, they say, and it can cause irreversible damage on a female fetus's developing ovaries. It's also been linked to, ibuprofen's been linked to miscarriage and early pregnancy. So what's a pregnant woman to do? You know, they're many times in pain. Well, this study found that mothers in U.S. and Canada found that 28% of women, mothers-to-be, had taken ibuprofen during pregnancy. That's a big problem. And more concerning is acetaminophen, which is also recommended as a pain reliever of choice in pregnancy. That can cause similar problems. It's part of the problem is that drugs are not routinely tested on pregnant women because it's unethical, right? But people forget that even these OTC drugs are very powerful drugs that can be rife with side effects. And last hour, if you were with us, we talked about the botanical remedy or food and medicine noni, which is one of the main medicines in Hawaiian herbal medicine, and that's also popular, nationwide. You can find it in natural food stores and many pharmacies, but the noni fruit leather or lavender noni lotion, well, the noni fruit leather is what you'd want internally for pain relief in this particular instance. All right, let's go finally to the Funny Bone Pharmacy. And we're getting our guest, Dr. Paul Wand, on the line. Let's see, a few funnies for you. Sorry, I can't go to work tomorrow. I fractured my motivation. Have you fractured your motivation? Instead of cleaning the house, I just turn off the lights. How about that one? Love that. Common, oh, this is my favorite, though, although I'll have a few others after this one. Common sense is not a gift. It's a punishment. Why? Because you still have to deal with everyone who doesn't have it. That's so true. And how about this one for you photographers out there? I've taken up photography because it's the only hobby where I can shoot people and cut their heads off without going to jail. That's so true. All right, let's see. I ran two times today. First, I ran out of beer. Then I ran out and got more. And speaking of, let's see, beer, I saw one. Oh, yeah, kiss me. I'm Irish, as in Irish, but Irish. Okay, they have that reputation. I finally got my head together and my body fell apart. What's that about? Okay, a couple others. Just a few more for you before we get on to our guest, Dr. Wand, on concussions. Oh, how about this one? Some people are like clouds. When they disappear, it's a beautiful day. Okay. Instead of single as a marital status, I prefer independently owned and operated. I like that one. Let's see. Some people... Okay. All right. A couple others. We don't have time for all these, but... Oh, I look at people and sometimes I think, really? That's the sperm that won? Okay. Revenge is beneath me. Accidents, however, will happen. Okay, that's, I don't want to give people ideas there. And then finally, the next best thing to quitting my job is fantasizing about quitting my job. All right, that's it for the Funny Bone Pharmacy. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Paul Wand talking about concussions, some of the signs and symptoms, and treatments and cures when we return from this brief break here on The Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. I'm David Snow, and this is Dr. Health Radio.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you 5 dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
If you're like most people, you've got a calendar to help you stay organized, or a day planner, or some PDA you're still figuring out how to use. And it helps keep track of the anniversaries and birthdays that our overworked brains can't remember. That way we know exactly when things will happen and how long we can put off making arrangements for them. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendar because we don't know when they'll happen, if at all. Like some sort of household emergency, or a disaster, or even a fire. But when it does, the time to prepare for it has already passed. So get together with your family today and prepare for the unexpected by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. That way you'll all know exactly what to do in the event of an emergency. where to go, who to call, how to help each other. But do it today, so you won't get caught by surprise tomorrow. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how to make your family disaster plan, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Welcome back to Lifestyles of the Fit and Healthy here on the Healthiest 2 Hours on Radio. David Snow on your radio. In this hour of the program, our topic is concussions, a discussion about concussion. Dr. Paul Wand, a neurologist from Coral Springs, Florida, joins us right now. He's a graduate of the University of Brussels in Belgium and has been in practice for more than 20 years here in America. And we welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Wand. How the health are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Now, I know that you've been studying this and treating patients for decades on this particular problem. Tell us, what are some of the more overlooked signs and symptoms of concussion? Because it has such a time delay involved in this particular disease versus many others. I mean, when I did some research on this, it's almost beyond belief on how delayed the symptoms and the suffering can be from the time that the person first suffers the incident of a concussion.
Well, there's a wide range of symptoms ranging from psychiatric symptoms such as emotional problems, uncontrollable anger, depression, violent behavior, down to all kinds of neurological symptoms such as impaired cognitive skills, so poor memory, difficulty concentrating, difficulty organizing, difficulty getting things done, and slowing of mental processing.
Now, as far as diagnosing this, does somebody have to go through involved diagnostic procedures such as MRIs or a lot of testing, or can it be done just with a simple doctor's appointment, you know, a process of elimination, or what is the best way for people if they somewhat suspect that possibly or maybe they could be suffering as a result of a concussion, where would they start?
Well, most people start with their family doctor, but right. They're only going to direct them to a neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is that most neurologists order the routine tests such as an MRI of the brain. They might even order a CT scan, which is less sensitive. But at the same time, since the vast majority of concussion, also known as traumatic brain injury, abbreviated as TBI, are what they call the mild category, that means when you send the person for the regular scan, be it a CT scan or MRI, it's going to come back normal. And even if you were to go to one step further and order a test of a functioning of the brain, which is a better type of test, the standard test that would be ordered is called EEG. That's a brainwave test. That comes back normal, and that's problematic because it does not help to confirm the diagnosis, and there's no way that it can lead to a treatment. On the other hand, there are more sophisticated tests which can be done, which I've been doing for, more than 20 years, and they can confirm the diagnosis and lead to a treatment. So the first test is a modification of the brainwave test, which is a computerized test, computerized EEG, also known as quantitative EEG. And that is a more scientific, objective method of evaluating the brain waves and is many, many times more sensitive. And depending upon the software that you have, for example, the software that I use, we can ask the person in question, the data, we can subject it to a database, a normal database, which means a collection of people who have no neurological conditions, and we can have the patient's individual results compared to the group norm, and if it's different, it's expressed as standard deviation, so it's a statistical analysis, and then we know objectively and scientifically that it's not normal. And on top of that, we have other programs contained within that program, for example, something called traumatic brain injury discriminant score, which gives us a percent probability that the patient suffered a concussion. It will also tell us if it's mild, moderate, or severe.
Okay, now, if somebody has this, well, first of all, if the symptoms are not so subtle, you know, in other words, somebody just had a traumatic brain injury or an obvious concussion, is this really necessary using the quantitative EEG, or would the CT scans or MRIs be sufficient?
Like I said before, the vast majority, over 90% of the MRI or CT, they come back negative.
Even from a major, like say an auto accident or a sports injury or something like that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Interesting.
Most of them are negative, which creates a huge problem, because if you don't resort to the more sensitive test, you can't really confirm the diagnosis and certainly can't have a treatment. Now, the quantitative EEG, which is very specific and the most sensitive test of brain electrical function, can also provide a treatment in the form of what we call neurofeedback.
Mm.
So neurofeedback, if the audience knows what biofeedback is,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Neurofeedback is a modification of the biofeedback, and you can think of it as biofeedback for the brain, and is very specific. And when it's done properly with state-of-the-art software, it can track the statistical deviation. So let's say, for example, that you get slowing in the brain, which is typical, and let's say it's 5 deviations from the norm, and when a person goes to the proper training, the training has an analysis, just like the test with the quantitative EEG, that tells you, you know, what that deviation is, also known as a Z-score. And what you want to do is, if you're starting at 5, you want to see after one of your treatments that it's going down to 4 or 3, you know, in the direction of 2 or below, which would be normal.
Okay, now, can you overdiagnose the condition? In other words, maybe it's so sensitive, like, you know, you've heard of other diseases being overdiagnosed and all these prescriptions, millions of prescriptions being given out because of something that is just, it's subclinical, or it's not even on the radar of where it would be classified as an actual condition or disease. I mean, at one point does it become, you know, what's the cutoff, in other words, as far as overdiagnosing this particular condition?
Well, that principle really doesn't apply
okay.
to this particular test.
Mm-hmm.
And even more specifically, when patients come to be evaluated, you know, they have complaints, they have symptoms, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
right, right. Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetful, I can't concentrate, et cetera, et cetera. And so we have networks in the brain that correspond to all these symptoms, which can be evaluated by this method. And again, the significance is able to be determined by a statistical score, which is used, as I said before, in the treatment. So we know when to stop the treatment, because there are practitioners of neurofeedback that don't have that statistical score, and they don't really know when. They just go by what the patient says, which is less accurate.
Okay, now what if, let me just stop you and ask you, Dr. Wand, if a patient is asymptomatic, they're not experiencing any symptoms, yet they've had a major incident, whether it's a auto accident, workplace accident, sports injury, et cetera. Should they still be, put through the series of tests that you're recommending, the quantitative EEG, even if they're not having any symptoms?
Probably not.
Okay.
The chances would be that individual would not present for an evaluation.
All right, okay.
Because they don't have any complaints.
Well, I was just thinking, because there's such a time delay in some of the particular issues that where people have a concussion, but they wouldn't exhibit the symptoms for weeks or months after the actual occurrence.
Well, you know, that's true to a relative degree, because when a person sustains a concussion, there are usually symptoms in the beginning,
uh-huh.
unless they're so mild that the person like chooses to ignore them. The problem in car accidents and, you know, attacks and things like that is these patients undergo multiple injuries. So it's the head, the neck, the back, whatever. And when they present to the emergency room, the focus is on the part of the body that has, you know, extreme pain or an obvious injury, an obvious fracture, or bleeding somewhere. And if they're awake and alert and oriented and talking, you know, they're not really worried about the brain. And that's how it gets overlooked, by the way. That's a common presentation.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
It's an explanation as to, you know, well, how did you end up with a head injury, you know, a year or two later when, you know, we didn't diagnose this in the beginning? Well, because it was overshadowed by the most pressing matters.
And does it also depend on the person's, the patient's pain threshold?
Well, if her head injury were, that would only be talking about headache, you know.
Yeah, right. Okay. And or if they had a pre-existing condition where they thought, oh, you know, that's my chronic migraine or, you know, whatever, and they don't equate it to the new injury or the concussion as being a different problem or, you know, because it has it's mimicking the same symptoms. So anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Juan, we need to take a bottom hour station break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about PTSD. I know you've worked with the VA and you have treatments and we want to talk about your novel approach or your different protocols that you have for treating head injuries, traumatic brain injuries, AKA concussions. Right after this, when we come back with more information for your good health here on Dr. Health. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
Your colon, something you don't usually think about unless it's causing problems like irregularity, constipation, gas, and bloating, or diarrhea after taking antibiotics. For true relief, you need to protect and strengthen your colon with targeted probiotic support. True Bifido contains a powerful dose of probiotics with 5 bifidobacteria strains that help balance the immune system, promote colon health, and improve digestive comfort. Why True Bifido and not the countless other probiotics on the market? First, it's from Master Supplements, the makers of Theralac, the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic available. That means True Bifido has the same patented delivery and stimulation as Theralac for fast results. Remember, choosing the right strains, delivering them alive, and stimulating their growth are the keys to an effective probiotic. So if you're looking to improve the health of your colon, look no further than the refrigerated section of your nearest natural food store for True Bifido, the probiotic colon formula that works.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior, fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
His name is Mr. Snow, and an upstanding man is he.
Oh, that would be me. Thank you so much for joining us once again. It's your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Dr. Health Radio to their patients who listen to our talk radio. Ask your doctor if Dr. Health is right for you. All right, we're talking to Dr. Paul Wand, a neurologist from Coral Springs, Florida, talking about concussions. Now, Dr. Wand, let's talk about some of the aspects of treatments. How does yours differ from other neurologists, the treatment protocol that you give to your patients?
Well, most medical doctors are not familiar with the neurofeedback because the practitioners who do that type of therapy are typically PhD doctors, and they really don't know too much about it. The other thing is that I do another test, which is not a very popular test. It's a scan of the brain. It's called a SPECT scan, S-P-E-C-T. Is the acronym, and that's a test that shows the blood flow in the brain and specifically the microcirculation.
Oh, and that's interesting.
People might ask, well, how come we don't know about it and we don't hear about it and nobody does it and da-da-da-da-da? And the answer is because in the world of imaging, especially for the brain, which is more difficult to image than the other body organs, MRI dominates the world of imaging. And it's made a lot of progress, and it's a great scan, but nothing is perfect. And the scan cannot be used for a treatment in a traumatic brain injury because it shows normal structure. While there's always a microscopic injury, it can't be seen on an MRI, even at the most powerful level that we have today.
Hmm.
The SPECT scan, I was introduced to that in the early 90s, and I began to notice a pattern that everybody had a decrease of blood flow in a particular pattern in the brain. And I said to myself, well, if everybody has a decrease of blood flow, wouldn't the treatment be an increase of blood flow? Logical deduction.
Right.
And I was aware of a medication, which I did prescribe in the hospital in the ICU for patients that had bleeding in the brain that caused the narrowing, what we call spasming of the arteries of the brain. And this medication was designed specifically to dilate those arteries to combat that complication.
Ah.
So I started to prescribe it what we call off-label, which doctors do all the time.
Sure.
And lo and behold, people started to get better. And it was reversal of symptoms, and including severe injuries, such as people being paralyzed and having difficulty talking and ringing in the ears, which there's really no good treatment for it. And
speaking of ringing in the ears, we're hearing a ringing in the background. Is that your phone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. You're a popular guy, a popular doc. What is that prescription drug, Dr. Wan?
So that's a drug that's called, the brand name is called Nemotop, and the generic name is called Nimodipine, and it's in the category of calcium channel blocker. And it really has only two indications. One is this bleeding in the brain that I mentioned, and the other is prevention of migraine headache, because calcium channel blockers are used for that purpose, although it's not very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So the drug is very safe. I've used it in many conditions, from children to adults. It's tolerated very well, and it works very, very well. And it also works in conjunction with another treatment, which is called hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Oh, sure, yes. We've done shows on that. Yes, it's very valuable. Mm-hmm.
And they actually work in conjunction synergistically, and those two treatment modalities work synergistically with the neurofeedback, because when the patients go for neurofeedback and they're using their brain to do whatever they decide to do for that treatment protocol,
right.
Anytime you use the brain for thinking, for looking, for whatever, there's an increase of neuronal cellular activity, and that causes an automatic increase in demand for blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
So in the people who have a brain injury, they have a reduced blood flow, there's some difficulty with that. So what we've seen, working together with my colleague and having patients get all three modalities at the same time, that they all work together, and the end result is the best results.
Wow, that's great. Now let's talk about occupational hazards when it comes to when it comes to concussions, and that is sports injuries such as, what really brought this to the forefront were the football players, the NFL league, and all the litigation that was going on, and the awareness that people finally recognized that, it had been going on for years or decades, of course, but they just, brought it to the public awareness. So let's talk about preventing the concussions in the first place via helmets and protective headgear. But give us your take on, I'm sure you've treated athletes and people with sports-related injuries because of blows to the head, whether it's soccer or football or other sports, as well as auto accidents. Let's talk about sports injuries first.
Well, it is true that I have seen some of the former NFL players, and I have treated them, and numerous other sports injuries, over the years. And the findings are the same. When you do these diagnostic tests, they show, the typical patterns of injury. And then the treatment that I just outlined before is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they get better.
Okay, so it doesn't matter what caused the concussion. The treatment would be, it's the same protocol?
Correct.
Okay, interesting. All right, and also I know that you were principal investigator of a clinical trial involving Alzheimer's disease, a new treatment for Alzheimer's disease. Can you share something, share with us what that involved?
Well, I was working with a company called the Life Extension Foundation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We're premier anti-aging company.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with this hypothesis after an article was found that some private doctor in actually in California was injecting the necks of old people for arthritis with a very, very specific type of anti-inflammatory medication that's used in, inflammatory arthritis, like rheumatoid arthritis, for example. And these elderly people with arthritis and pain in the neck, some of them were demented, and it was noted, by accident that their cognitive deficits got better. And then he himself did a trial with 15 patients for 6 months and noticed they got better. And so the Life Extension decided to do their own trial. And, I'm their go-to neurologist because I'm on the board,
mm-hmm.
the medical advisory board of the Life Extension.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we did a study, and we did about 12 patients. And the conclusion was that it was not statistically significant.
Oh, okay.
We had a statistician look at it, of course. Although mm-hmm. my impression was that while we were doing it, and I injected people in the neck, and then the medication went up into the brain, a little bit of an unusual pathway, but, seemed to be, the people seemed to get better, at least for a while.
Interesting. Now, on neuropathies, I know you also did studies and research on diabetic neuropathy. And here, where we broadcast from Honolulu, Hawaii, there's a high incidence of diabetes, one of the highest on a per capita basis of any state in the nation. Tell us about diabetic neuropathy and the best treatment for that.
Well, the treatment for diabetes is based upon what goes wrong inside those tiny little peripheral nerves.
It's, mm-hmm.
it's a complicated metabolic situation, but again, one of the most important mechanisms of injury is a decrease of blood flow of the microscopic vessels that feed the nerves.
Yes.
So one of the treatments that I started since about 1995 is the use of certain magnetic inserts so that the people walk on these magnetic inserts, and the magnetic field, which is relatively weak, penetrates into the foot and specifically goes into those little microscopic blood vessels and increases the blood flow.
Wow, interesting.
And so some of the pain that the patients get are from what we call ischemia.
Yes.
Same thing as if you cut off the blood flow to any other part of the body.
Exactly.
Except it's a smaller size vessel.
Oh, interesting. Now, what about... go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Then there's a whole host of metabolic conditions that arise as a result of the glucose sugar penetrating into the peripheral nerve and causing a cascade of events. And many of these have been worked out and known, and many of them can be corrected by vitamins and supplements.
I was just going to ask you.
A long list of mm-hmm. vitamins and supplements that they should take to relieve some of those conditions.
Okay, like to prevent glycation and maybe the use of alpha-lipoic acid for diabetic
correct.
Retinopathy, which is popular in Germany. I mean, doctors prescribe it over there in Germany for,
yes,
for that purpose.
Yeah. In fact, when I first started doing or using the magnetic inserts, I had three patients that were on the list for amputation.
Mm-hmm.
Two were diabetic with neuropathy. One had neuropathy, and we didn't know why. He also had peripheral vascular disease, so he had no pulses, and his feet were blue and cold and painful. And he was on the list at the VA, and he wore the inserts for about 2 months, and the pulses came back, and the reflexes came back, and the color was like almost normal. And so he was very happy, and he didn't have to get an amputation. Neither did the other two.
Now, speaking of amputation, tell us what TeslaMax is. That's a unique type of electrical stimulation. Is this what you're talking about with the feet?
It certainly can be applied to the muscles of the calf. And what the TeslaMax does, because it is a different type of stimulation, it allows the voltage to be increased very high to like 400 volts.
Whoa.
But
really?
It doesn't burn, and it doesn't hurt because it has a very low amperage. But what happens is it causes the muscles to contract vigorously. So it's like going to the gym and working out or having a super workout. And when you increase the blood flow multiple times to the legs, that eventually trickles down to those nerves. I was talking about those microscopic blood vessels before.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you get the blood flowing and the oxygen, the tissues can heal.
Okay, yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's why exercise is so important to increase the microcirculation, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Wow, this is fascinating information. Dr. Wand, do you have a website if people want to get more information about your protocol of treatment and what you do in your neck of the woods? Give us that, please.
Okay, so www.brainhealingcenter.com.
Brainhealingcenter.com. That's easy. All right. And if people want to make an appointment with you, if they want to fly all the way to Florida from where we are, from the West Coast to the East Coast or west of the West Coast, they can. You're still accepting patients, I take it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And if you could please keep us updated on the latest information on the treatment and prevention of concussions.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Paul Wand, a neurologist in Coral Springs, Florida. All right, we're going to take a break for Dick Allgaier's Health Report. And when we come back, we'll have Dr. Susanna Stoica talking about her new book, Heal Your Brain, Reclaim Your Life, also related to concussions. And we will have more information for your good health. But stay tuned now for this week's Health Report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
Time now for the Health Report from veteran TV newscaster Dick Allgaier. This feature is brought to you by Hawaiian Organic Noni, the makers of Noni Fruit Leather and Lavender Noni Lotion, available at health stores and pharmacies, or by going to realnoni.com. Now, Dick Allgaier and this week's Health Report.
When scientists at Harvard University calculated average life expectancy, they noticed a dramatic effect from healthy habits. How to live 12 years longer if you're a man and 14 years longer if you're a woman. Study published in the journal Circulation. These are the five healthy habits: not smoking, a normal body mass index, 30 minutes a day of moderate exercise, no more than one glass of wine per day for women, two for men, a diet rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, cut out the red meat, cut down on the sugar. In a recent study published by scientists from the University of Nottingham, researchers concluded that garlic can, in fact, reduce the risk of developing certain types of cancers, cardiovascular disease, and type 2 diabetes. Garlic produces a variety of sulfur compounds when prepared, whether it's chopped, fermented in alcohol, or pressed for oil. And according to researchers, these sulfur compounds can affect gaseous signaling molecules such as nitric oxide and hydrogen sulfide that are normally naturally produced in the human body. Gaseous signaling molecules from garlic. Sounds awful. Ooh, I got gaseous signaling molecules, but good for you. Scientists at UC Berkeley have discovered a new DNA structure inside human cells called the I motif. It could lead to drugs that slow or block the aging process along with new treatments for cancer. They reported this in the journal Nature. It's more of a twisted knot than a traditional double helix. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to The Cure for the Common Radio Show. David Snow with you. Reminder, our show does rebroadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. And you can always go to drhealthradio.com. That's D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. As we archive all of our shows, there are podcasts on the website, drhealthradio.com. I think the last year or so, we have all each and every show. All right, in this segment of the program, Dr. Susanna Stoica, author of the new book, Heal Your Brain, Reclaim Your Life, is with us, talking about her new book and about concussions, as we were talking about with Dr. Paul Wandt. And we welcome her to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Stoica. How the health are you?
Good afternoon. Here is in the East Coast. It's
okay.
Already afternoon.
All right. Okay. Well, good day to you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Your station.
Yes. So, well, first of all, tell us about your journey back from a brain injury. You had a personal story to tell on that.
Yes, I had a double brain injury, which means two slip and falls on ice from standing position in the same day.
Oh, so, wow. That's mean.
Yes. I ended up not being able to speak any of the languages I used to speak, horrible headaches, vision problems, you name it, I had it.
How many years ago did this happen, doctor?
In 2000.
Okay, to 18 years ago, okay.
Yeah, I had no recollection of my childhood.
Wow.
It took about 10 to 12 years to recall anything from my childhood.
Is that right?
For a long time, I couldn't read because I couldn't comprehend anything. I had a window of about 3 words that I would remember.
So it was as if you were a stroke victim. That's a lot of times what, I mean, this is sounding like a stroke patient.
Yeah, it's actually in healing, we consider strokes and brain injuries in the same group.
Yeah, right.
Because they affect the same way the energy field.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I eventually I was able to recover after looking to find somebody who did the same I was doing, because by that time I had 15 years of working outside of my family with brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find any healer to do the same thing I was doing. So I slowly, as I was recovering my mental capabilities, I put together a program derived from my experience working with others. And as you can hear, I am not too bad today.
Yes, right, exactly. We're glad you're with us today. Now, does this involve various medications and different therapies or treatments? What exactly does it entail?
In my book, actually, I described all the therapies I used for different things. I used massage. I used osteopathic adjustments, craniosacral therapy,
okay.
Vision treatment, vision exercises, and for a while, prismatic glasses to be able to see, till I figured out a method, which is described in my book, to recover my vision. And at my age, actually, I am improving my vision from the year to year.
Interesting.
Because of that method.
Now, can I ask how old you are? Do you mind?
I don't mind. I am 72.
72, okay. And your vision is actually getting better as the result of your self-treatments.
My exercise, yes.
Oh, okay. Now, what about acupuncture? Did you investigate that at all?
Yes. I used also acupuncture for relief of the stress, because it's a lot of stress related to brain injury. Part of it is the trauma itself, and the other part is the loss of self.
Mm-hmm.
That happens with brain injury because you are not functioning anymore.
Right.
Before the brain injury, I was a very active person, both as an engineer and as a healer in a medical practice.
Oh.
And from one day to the next, everything stopped.
Okay.
So that puts you in a situation that you feel absolutely useless and a burden for your family.
Right, right. Now, are you against medications, or do you use medications as an adjunctive therapy, or
I believe that medications are useful in the acute phase or things, because Alternative healing usually helps in the long term because it heals the system,
right,
as opposed to dealing only with symptoms. But
yes,
sometimes medications are necessary.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that, I like that, healing the system, not just the symptoms. But, I mean, you actually need to do both, obviously. So, yeah, like you mentioned, the meds are good at the onset or the initial, when you first have the concussion, and then
yes,
and then you need lifestyle medicine to take over, and then for the long term. And then what about prevention? I mean, do you have to be more careful now that you've had a concussion than if you had never had one in the first place? Is there a difference?
Absolutely,
there?
It is. Statistics prove that people who had once a concussion are much more prone to have a second one or
yes,
a third one.
I have heard that.
And that is because you are not as secure on your feet, especially if your concussion goes untreated. Because people,
right,
from my experience as a healer, only about 20% of lasting concussions are detected by medical methods.
Really?
Because it's, yes, because what's happening, MRI and cognitive tests are the two tests that are used to evaluate, plus looking into your eyes to see if you focus properly,
mm-hmm,
are the tools which are used to determine if you had a concussion or not.
Okay, Dr. Stoica, let me just stop you there. You're looking into your eyes. I'm looking into the screen, and I see we have just a few seconds left. Give us your website. The name of the book, the new book, is Heal Your Brain, Reclaim Your Life. How can our listeners get that?
They can get it from Amazon.com.
Okay. And your website, do you have one?
HealingBrainInjury.com.
HealingBrainInjury.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Susanna Stoica, for being with us.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. All right. That's it for this week's show. Thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the program. Until then, I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a very healthy week.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.